Brian. Good morning, Melbourne Church. So, I've been thinking here lately about young children. And sometimes you see little girls playing with dolls. They fantasize about being a mom one day, and they're only like 5 years old. Okay? Very common. It's common to see people begin dating and exploring in that area around 12, 13, 14 years old. And for parents, that's absolutely unnerving. And it's also very natural to want to kiss. And I have had a question that comes from one of our youth. And that question simply is it a kiss to sin before you're married? When I heard this question, I wanted to crawl underneath the seat that I was sitting in, okay? This is a difficult subject for me to handle. I received this question back in January, and if you can notice, I am pacing like a cat because, yes, I'm nervous to speak. Normally, I'm not. But as I have reflected on this, church, we've got a world out there, and we've got a school out there that are teaching our children about very ungodly things, about dating, about marriage, about those things in general. Can you guys still hear me okay? I turned that down just a little. I kept hearing it. The old microphone broke. This is a brand new mic I had to buy this week, so I'm adjusting it for the first time. That actually sounds a little clearer. Does it sound clearer to you? Okay, good. But I believe that it's very vital for parents to talk about this with their kids. And really, that's not what this is about. I think it's even more vital for the minister of a congregation to help families and to help our youth understand what God says about it, so they have more than one area of feedback of what to believe about this. Because for an innocent child at 5 years old to dream about becoming a mother, they're going to get kissed and they're going to do some kissing before it's all over. And if we can help guide them in that in a way that glorifies and honors God, I believe we've done our job well. Amen. I'm glad somebody else agrees with me, so here we go. All right. The question is it a sin to kiss before you're married? And my short response is yes and no. I believe it's both. Because there are times that it's sinful to kiss. There are also times that it's not sinful to kiss. And then there's times to ask the question, is it sinful to kiss like that? Okay? That's a whole other question. And again, I believe it's important to have honest conversations about this. Because our young men and women really want to know how to honor God when it comes to physical affection before marriage. And I am so thankful our youth are thinking about that right now and giving that serious thought. Now, before we really jump into this question, I want to share some kissing facts with you that I found in the Bible. These are kind of cool. The word kiss shows up 46 times in the Bible. Genesis chapter 27 speaks of a son kissing his father. Genesis 29 speaks of cousins kissing. This is not kissing cousins either, okay? This is just cousins that are kissing, and it's very equivalent to our handshake in today's culture. Genesis 29 speaks of an uncle kissing his nephew because he's glad to see him. In Genesis chapter 31, Laban is a father who kisses his children. Let's see. In Genesis 33, there were two brothers named Jacob and Esau that were kissing and hugging one another because they had a serious grudge between each other, hadn't spoken in years. And I call this a kiss of forgiveness and of reconciliation. In Exodus 18, Moses kissed his father-in-law. In Ruth 1, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, Samuel anointed Saul as king, and he kissed him as a way of honoring him.
And what we see so far is kissing. There's a lot of different motives and a lot of different reasons for pressing your lips against someone else, okay? And I think looking at the motive is the critical thing here. David also kissed his best friend Jonathan because they were about to part ways for a little while. And you ever heard of this thing called blowing a kiss? If you didn't know that's in the Bible, it is. It's Job 31:27. My hand threw a kiss from my mouth is what this scripture says. Then we come to Psalm 85:10. Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. So there is also a kiss of righteousness and peace. And until one lives righteously, there is no peace in a person's life. So if you're looking for inner peace, that's where you go to find it. In Luke 38, we find a kiss of gratitude. And this is where the King of all kings is kissed. Luke 7:38, she wet Jesus' feet with her tears and kept kissing his feet. So it is a kingly kiss, and this woman confesses King Jesus to be the one who rules her heart, her mind, her entire life. Because, church, this woman found forgiveness and salvation, and she's thankful. She has a heart of gratitude. Romans 16:16 is a holy kiss of love. Greet one another with a holy kiss. 1 Peter 5:14, greet one another with a kiss of love. And these two are talking about Christians. So, you know, 2,000 years ago, it was culturally appropriate to walk into a church gathering and for men to kiss women and women to kiss men. It showed love and appreciation of other people. But in today's culture, I would say that a holy handshake is quite appropriate, okay? And if you don't believe me, try kissing someone and see if you don't get a holy slap on the cheek. Now, that one's not in the Bible, but I promise you it is real. So, stick with the handshake. Now, there is also a sinful kiss. That's a kiss of idolatry. Hosea 13:2. Let the men who sacrifice kiss the calves. And this is a context where it's golden calves made for idol worship. But I've also seen people kiss money. I'm one of them. And we really need to be careful what we put our lips against. So that was a thought I had. There is also Proverbs 27:6. This is what I call the kiss of a lie. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. And faithful friends will tell you the truth when it hurts. But enemies lie to you because they can't handle honesty. And that's the kiss of a lie. So that's one to seriously meditate on, church. Now, we also have the sinful Judas kiss of betrayal. That one's pretty well known. It's in Matthew 26:49. Immediately Judas went to Jesus and kissed him. In Proverbs 7, we find sinful kisses with purely evil motives. This one is the kiss of adultery. I saw among the naive a young man lacking sense. Imagine that. So she seizes him and kisses him and says, come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. For my husband is not home. And I thought to myself, how convenient. You know, I'm sure we've seen this in our lives somewhere, but her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. So this kiss of adultery leads to eternal death that's found in hell, and that's what the Bible has to say about messing around with married people. So if you've ever wondered, there you go. Now, those were all for free, but we're going to get down to the main one. I just wanted you to see, I didn't even know that the Bible said that. That's 17 things about kissing in the Bible, and that's just a fraction of them. There's more. But I got to get to the question. So the question, last but not least, is that we in Scripture find a marriage covenant kiss. And that is not a dating kiss. They are radically different. And I did not know that until this study. But this verse speaks of romantic kisses that glorify God. And this passage conveys marital and covenant intimacy. It portrays affection for one another after the point of marriage, and it highlights a physical intimacy and affection, and these two see that as a gift given directly from God. And it's quite beautiful in that context when you really look at what God has created. And a marriage covenant kiss, like I said, it's not a dating kiss, because the true kiss of covenant loyalty, it seals one's faithfulness to their spouse forever. And this kind of a kiss proclaims a lifelong union reflecting divine faithfulness. You are not going to get that in dating, okay? You're going to get that in a marriage covenant. Now, here's the kicker. When it comes to Scripture, there is nowhere in the Bible that speaks of kissing before marriage. It's completely absent. So, it brings us back to the question, is it a sin to kiss before marriage? Now, even though it's not spoken of, the Bible does tell us to avoid sexual immorality, and that includes abstaining from sex until marriage. If you would, read with me in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and following. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators nor adulterers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now that sin list is a lot longer, but I'm cutting to the chase here because that's what our focus is. Some of you, or such were some of you, but even though you used to be a fornicator and adulterer, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Now, fornication, when you look this up in the Greek, it describes a person who practices any sexual activity outside of a covenant between one man and one woman in marriage. And the majority of our society believes that God is okay with sex outside of a covenant marriage. I've heard people right here in this congregation believe that God is okay with sex outside of marriage. He is not, and he does not believe that. We can read all over the New Testament that God does not buy into that, and that is exactly why the best practice is to find the truth by opening the Bible, reading it, believing what it says contrary to popular opinion, rather than believing what somebody tells you. When you look at 1 Corinthians 6, there were a lot of people headed to hell because they were sleeping with one another outside of marriage. That's a problem. That's a problem. And it's got a stiff penalty. But here's the good news. God offered humanity the opportunity to learn his truth that leads to the repenting of sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being washed by Christ's blood in baptism. And that's what I call absolute good news. So this verse teaches that baptism sanctifies you, it justifies you, and you are baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're baptized into the name of the Holy Spirit. So what Bible teaches is that there's only one remedy for sin, and that's called repentance. And that's a change of a mind, a heart, and a complete turn of a lifestyle. Now, since kissing is not technically sexual intercourse, a lot of people believe that kissing before marriage is not a sin. But I also have talked to a lot of people that believe kissing should wait until the wedding day. And really, church, it all comes down to the motive of why are you doing what you're doing? What's your end goal? What do you want this to go to? Now, kissing in and of itself, that's not a sin. But hear me clearly. If your kissing leads to the urge of having sex before marriage, it shouldn't be practiced if that couple really wants to honor and glorify God as well as be blessed by God. You can take your own blessings away from God by not honoring him and giving him the glory. So if kissing makes your mind go in places that it shouldn't, it's best to stop doing that. If you really love God. That's the bottom line to this. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I believe that we shouldn't ever do anything that would cause someone else to fall into sin just to make us feel better. That's pretty bad motives if you think about it. In Romans chapter 14, verse 13 is a great verse for this. It says to determine this. Determine steadfast in your heart and mind not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. Now, even though the Bible doesn't directly tell us about kissing before marriage, we do have the Holy Spirit inside of us if we've been baptized into Christ. The Spirit leads and guides as we continue to walk with Christ throughout our life. But church, when we meditate on Scripture, when we consult God in prayer, when we live by and through the Spirit, every single Christian has the capacity to make the right decision when it comes to kissing. And again, that's something that's between you, your boyfriend, girlfriend, and God. That's not for me to judge or anyone else. Now, if you've got parents, they might have a judgment call there, but they'd be about the only ones, you know, other than God Himself. Now, I want to state a couple of things, and then we'll turn the steering wheel a little bit. But if you're uncomfortable with kissing, and you're not married, I believe that could lead both into temptation, and it's really better, in my opinion, to just openly talk to the other person. It may be awkward, but I tell you what, it'd be a lot more awkward to have a baby outside of marriage or catch an STD or have all this guilt and shame that comes along with that lifestyle. You know, just sit down and be honest with one another. That really takes care of a lot within itself. And I'll say this, those that truly love you for who you are will respect your boundaries. Once you lay that boundary down, if there's a true love, they're going to back up because they love you. And if they don't respect your opinion and your boundaries and your walk with God, it tells you a lot more about them than you knew before that moment. Maybe a really good indicator for you. So consider that, church. But it also needs to be said that kissing is not the same thing as making out. And making out usually includes French kissing, and there's a tongue involved somewhere in there, and saliva is being passed back and forth. Now, you may be wondering, why in the world are you saying that publicly, Ryan? Because it needs to be said, that's why. There's something critical you've got to understand scientifically and medically that I did not know until I did this study. It is medically proven that kissing triggers the release of oxytocin, dopamine, and serotonin. When you do drugs, the drug does not get you high. The release of the chemicals in your brain gets you high, and it's the same chemicals. You ever heard anybody say, I'm drunk on love? Well, it's because they have a euphoria going on that's very real. And that's what happens. And there's a reason behind it. Testosterone is natural in men, and it is the main hormone that produces sex drive. Also, testosterone is the primary hormone that is found in male saliva. So when you kiss and you trade spit, you women are receiving testosterone, and it starts releasing things in your brain that normally would not be released. I did not know that's how it worked. Quite fascinating to me. Now, your body all of a sudden relaxes because when those chemicals together hit you, they lower cortisone levels, and that's a stress hormone, so you become very unnaturally relaxed. And once that happens, open mouth kisses increase feelings of affection, bonding, and euphoria. So medically speaking, making out is made by God for one reason, and it's to get the body ready for sex. I don't know how more plainly to say it. I think we really need to know that. It is very uncomfortable for me to say it, but we really need to know it. So, now, at this point, even if your intent and motive is pure, I mean, your body was designed to bond and to crave sex from kissing. That's what God made it for. So it's really best to not make out with someone until you're married to them. It's really not. I mean, when I look at the Greek lexicon definition of kissing, kissing is defined, I get it, to show respect. Okay? That is not making out and fondling one another. That is not respectful. That's very disrespectful. But kissing shows affection, a personal devotion between friends and relatives. I mean, children kiss their mother, you know. And the root word of kiss means gentle. I found that quite fascinating in this study. But kissing outside of marriage in the Bible, it's short, it's gentle, and it's to the point. It's very respectful. And the one thing it does, church, it gives glory to God. And I find that very helpful for me personally. Now, I want you to consider Ephesians 5, 3. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality of any or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Romans 12, 1. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So pushing the boundaries as far as you can while kissing, that doesn't glorify God. And I don't consider it wise to rev up your body and then try to slam on the brakes, because God doesn't want anyone to engage in any kind of sin, but especially sexual immorality. And ultimately, what we do or don't do with our bodies, it seriously matters to God. 1 Corinthians 6:13 and following helps us with this idea. The body is not for sexual immorality, but the body is for what, church? It's for the Lord. It is for God to live in. And the Lord is for the body. Now, God has not only raised Jesus our Lord, but he will also raise up our bodies through his power. So our bodies matter. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Jesus Christ himself? That's what our bodies are for. That's what God designed our bodies for. And with all this being said, please hear me clearly. Romance is not a sin. There is no sin about romance. God created romance, and he created that crazy attraction between men and women, and he wants to protect us from the pain and the consequences of sexual sin. If you think about it, God, he's not trying to take your fun away. He's trying to make sure that he protects your heart and your entire life, because he doesn't want your dating relationship influenced by sex. And why? Because he doesn't want the closeness of a sexual bond to ever end or to be broken. That was never designed by God. That was designed by sinful human beings. That's where that pain comes from. And that kind of pain, you know it as well as I do, it's absolutely debilitating and devastating. And God doesn't want that for you. He's got a better plan for your life when it comes to that. And marriage is simply designed by God to protect your heart. You know, when you are intimate with another person like this, there's vulnerability that's exposed. And that's the only safe way to have that is within the confines of a covenant marriage. And you got to remember, a covenant marriage, both parties are committed and they're absolutely faithful to the end. That's who you can trust. That's who will treat your heart and your mind and your life with safety. So, is it a sin to kiss before marriage? And again, ultimately, that decision is between you, your boyfriend, girlfriend, and God. And I will throw parents in there as well. But I also want to say that if you've decided to wait until marriage to kiss somebody, hey, good for you. Good for you. And don't worry about being judged by others that don't understand your decision and they don't understand your walk and your commitment to God. You're the one that's going to answer to God, not somebody else. So live in such a way that you have a clean conscience. I really want to urge that. You're going to get to kiss your future spouse for the rest of your lives anyway. So why rush it if it's going to mess things up? But also, if you don't feel convicted and you can kiss each other without a lustful intent and motive, and kissing before marriage can be done in a way that honors and glorifies God. So yeah, it's conditional. You've really got to think about it and look at it and examine the motives. But my last statement here, I recommend avoiding making out until your wedding night. And that was clearly stated earlier, because that will honor God and your future spouse 100%. And I believe going into marriage with 100% clean conscience, I don't think there's anything better than to set up the foundation for the rest of your life and your children's lives. So that is my response to this question. And thank you guys. I am sweating unlike I normally do, but it came out all right. Now, right now,